O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Praise to thee, O Christ, King of eternal glory. Christ, for our sakes, hath endured temptation and suffering. O come, let us worship him.
O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving, and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God, and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. Sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Christ, for our sakes, hath endured temptation and suffering. O come, let us worship him.
Thank you.
Rejoice ye with Jerusalem, and be glad with her, all ye that love her, that ye may nurse and be satisfied with the breasts of her consolations. I was glad when they said unto me, Let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. For my brethren and companions' sakes, I will now say, Peace be within thee. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Rejoice ye with Jerusalem, and be glad with her, all ye that love her, that ye may nurse and be satisfied with the breasts of her consolations. The Old Testament lesson for Lytare is written in the 16th chapter of Exodus, beginning at the 2nd verse. The whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said to them, We wish that we had died by the Lord's hand in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the meat pots, when we ate our fill of bread. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Then the Lord said to Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not. It shall come to pass on the sixth day, that they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. Moses and Aaron said to all the children of Israel, At evening you shall know that the Lord has brought you out from the land of Egypt. In the morning you shall see the Lord's glory, because he hears your murmurings against the Lord. Who are we that you murmur against us? Moses said, Now the Lord will give you meat to eat in the evening, and in the morning bread to satisfy you, because the Lord hears your murmurings, which you murmur against him. And who are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. Moses said to Aaron, Tell all the congregation of the children of Israel, Come close to the Lord, for he has heard your murmurings. As Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the children of Israel, they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the Lord's glory appeared in the cloud. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak to them, saying, At evening you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God. In the evening, quail came up and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay around the camp. When the dew that lay had gone, behold, on the surface of the wilderness was a small round thing, small as the frost on the ground. When the children of Israel saw it, they said to one another, What is it? For they didn't know what it was. Moses said to them, It is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord has commanded. Gather of it everyone, according to his eating, an omer a head, according to the number of your persons, you shall take it, every man for those who are in his tent. The children of Israel did so, and some gathered more, some less. When they measured it with an omer, he who gathered much had nothing left over, and he who gathered little had no lack. They each gathered according to his eating. Moses said to them, Let no one leave of it until the morning. Notwithstanding, they didn't listen to Moses, but some of them left it until the morning, so it bred worms and became foul, and Moses was angry with them. They gathered it morning by morning, everyone according to his eating. When the sun grew hot, it melted. O Lord, have mercy upon us. Thanks be to God. The epistle is written in the 4th chapter of Galatians, beginning at the 21st verse. Brothers, tell me, you that desire to be under the law, don't you listen to the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the servant, and one by the free woman. However, the son by the servant was born according to the flesh, but the son by the free woman was born through promise. These things contain an allegory, for these are two covenants. One is from Mount Sinai, bearing children to bondage, which is Hagar. For this, Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answers to the Jerusalem that exists now, for she is in bondage with her children. But the Jerusalem that is above is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, "Rejoice, you barren who don't bear. Break out and shout, you who don't travail. For the desolate have more children than her who has a husband." Now we, brothers, as Isaac was, are children of promise. But as then, he who was born according to the flesh persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, so also it is now. However, what does the Scripture say? "Throw out the servant and her son, for the son of the servant will not inherit with the son of the free woman." So then, brothers, we are not children of a servant, but of the free woman. O Lord, have mercy upon us. Thanks be to God. I was glad when they said unto me, "Let us go into the house of the Lord. Peace be within thy walls, and prosperity within thy palaces." They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people, from henceforth even forever. Peace shall be upon Israel. The Holy Gospel is according to St. John, the 6th chapter. Glory be to thee, O Lord. After these things, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which is also called the Sea of Tiberias. A great multitude followed him, because they saw his signs which he did on those who were sick. Jesus went up into the mountain, and he sat there with his disciples. Now, the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand. Jesus, therefore, lifting up his eyes, and seeing that a great multitude was coming to him, said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread, that these may eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may receive a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are these among so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." Now there was much grass in that place, so the men sat down, in number about 5,000. Jesus took the loaves, and having given thanks, he distributed to those who were sitting down. Likewise also of the fish, as much as they desired. When they were filled, he said to his disciples, "Gather up the broken pieces which are left over, that nothing be lost." So they gathered them up, and filled 12 baskets with broken pieces from the 5 barley loaves, which were left over by those who had eaten. When therefore the people saw the sign which Jesus did, they said, "This is truly the prophet who comes into the world." Jesus, therefore, perceiving that they were about to come and to take him by force to make him king, withdrew again to the mountain by himself. Here ends the Gospel. Praise be to thee, O Christ. Rend your heart and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, for he is gracious and merciful. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, for he is gracious and merciful.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Lord this morning asks an important question. Where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat? Well, he knew. He wants to see where we will look. And there's two possible answers. There's the answer of Philip, where he looks toward money. Then there's the answer of an ancient church father who wasn't addressing this text specifically, but his quote answers the question. No, this is Cyprian of Carthage saying, "No one can have God as his father who does not have the church as his mother." No one can have God as his father who does not have the church as his mother. And we know from hearing the gospel, Philip's answer is wrong, and Cyprian's seems random and unrelated. So how would you answer? And the more we consider the question, if we meditate on it for a while, it is actually a hard question to answer. Because what we need to understand is what our Lord is really asking. As we understand it, it becomes harder to answer the question. And he's asking this question: where do you expect the nourishment for life? Where do you expect it to come from? Well, let's look at the answers of Philip, Andrew, and the large crowd. Philip, like we said, expected nourishment from their money. Not even 200 denarii, he says, could feed them even a little. He looked only to the coins in their money bag. Well, Andrew, he looks a bit harder for an answer. He searches among the 5,000. He hunts for food that people had brought, and all that he can find is 5 loaves and 2 fish among 5,000 men. Andrew only looked at what the people had earned and brought of themselves. And so Philip and Andrew expected the nourishment for life from their earnings or from themselves or their merits or that of other men. Had people depended on that day on Philip and Andrew to be fed, 5,000 men would have starved to death. Because no man is worth anything to nourish himself. No man can earn anything to nourish himself. So we hear the question, where are we to buy bread? Where do we expect nourishment? Well, we certainly don't want to answer like Philip and Andrew. We'd be dead. Which leaves Cyprian's answer. But again, his just seems odd, doesn't it? But we've heard the gospel. We know what happens here. What we want to do is give the answer that we gave in Sunday school. It's Jesus. We expect bread and nourishment from Jesus. Jesus alone. That's the great Lutheran answer, isn't it? Jesus alone. But there is one problem with that answer. That's how the crowd would answer too. They've seen our Lord heal. They've seen our Lord give them an overabundance of bread. And so they answer, Jesus. And they mean it. Look at them. It's just about the time of the Passover. And they're not going to Jerusalem. They're leaving old Jerusalem in droves. They're going away from the old feast out to our Lord in the wilderness. And the reason why is because this old Jerusalem has very little to offer them. Over the centuries, the once glorious city had been sacked and laid to ruins by the Babylonians. And when the Jews did rebuild it, it was a shell of its former self. And after they did rebuild it, well, then the Greeks came and took it over. And then after the Greeks, the Romans came and took it over, and they still had control. And they made life hard for those who wanted to be faithful. And even worse, the religious leaders at their time offered no hope or guidance for the people. They held themselves up as bastions of righteousness, those religious leaders did. And they sneered at those who were below them. And the way that they taught the faith, they set the bar so high to get up into heaven that it was impossible. You had little hope unless you were a Pharisee. Old Jerusalem was like a weary, tired mother whose supply had dried up, having nothing left to feed her children. So the crowd goes to find Jesus for the nourishment of life. And they get healings and they get bread. But look at how they see Jesus. Look at what they believe about Jesus. They see him as a magical physician and a great bread king. That's what they believe the nourishment for life is. It's merely physical health of a sinful body and meager bread that can fill the belly for a time. But there's a problem with that. Even with all those healings and with 12 basketfuls of food left over, and with all the comforts of life that you could imagine, all of that can only nourish for a time. In the end, all 5,000 men are still going to die. Yes, they may answer, Jesus is where we get our nourishment, but in who they believe Jesus is, they're still going to die. Their answers are no better than Philip or Andrew's. So our Lord hears all the answers from Andrew and Philip and the crowds, and look what he does. He leaves them to be by himself because they don't have the right answer. They don't see what Jesus is. Where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat? Well, we don't want to answer like Philip or Andrew or the crowd. We would be dead. So again, we come to the point where Cyprian's answer remains. No one can have God as his father who does not have the church as his mother. And if you want to know where he gets that answer, it's right there in the gospel. A very simple verse that's easy to overpass. It's this verse. Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. That image is what our Lord wants Philip and us to see. He wants us to see the flesh and blood of our Lord on the mountain with his disciples gathered around together. That's the church. That's the image of the new Zion. That is the new Jerusalem. Where are we to buy bread? Where are we to expect the nourishment of life? The answer is the church. And Cyprian here is just using the psalm. The psalm says, rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad for her, all you who love her, that you may nurse and be satisfied from her consoling breast. The old Jerusalem, the Old Testament mother of the church, she had dried up. She's unable to feed her children any longer because her children were incapable of themselves of doing any righteousness. But now with the psalmist, we rejoice with the new Jerusalem, the mother of the New Testament church, created out of the flesh and blood of our Lord and full of his righteousness. It's a very ancient image of the church where the womb of the church is the font, where she has given a painless, glorious birth to all of us in baptism. And from her we receive the nourishment from her comforting breasts, from the pulpit, where we receive the nourishment of the preached word, and from the altar, where we receive the nourishment of our Lord's body and blood. And while she gives nourishment, you must understand, she is not herself the source of that nourishment, but the nourishment she gives is from our Lord's death on the cross. So she gives us his forgiveness, his righteousness, so that we can be nourished. So that as the 5,000 gathered in the grass, so every Sunday also the church the world over are gathered into the arms of our mother in the pews and at the rail. And just as there was an overabundance of the meat of fish and bread there for the 5,000, so here at the altar is an endless abundance of our Lord's body and blood. And as the 5,000 were physically satisfied, we are even more so spiritually satisfied as we leave this altar. But there is a difference between us and the 5,000. The 5,000 had as their life's goal and their fulfillment only healthy, frail, sinful bodies and full, gluttonous bellies. That's all they wanted in life. That was their life's goal. But our life goal in baptism is far from that. Our life's goal, our fulfillment in this life, the pinnacle and the telos of our earthly life right now is the Lord's Supper, where we receive the forgiveness of sins so that when we eat of our Lord's body, as his flesh enters into our corrupt flesh, he changes our mortal bodies into immortal ones like his. And when we drink of our Lord's blood, we have his life flowing through us right now and then for eternity. So that partaking of this supper, even if we should die, and even if our bodies do decompose and corrupt in the ground, that won't be the end of it. Our bodies will be raised perfect and incorruptible in him. The Lord left the 5,000 after the meal because they didn't see him for who he was. But our Lord never leaves us at this altar. When we take the supper, he is always with us. So that as we eat of this supper here and now, we hope for the resurrection. And in the resurrection is where we will eat this feast in full from our mother, the heavenly Jerusalem, where the food will never run out. Our psalmist says, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they be secure who love you. For my brothers and my companions' sake, I will say, peace be within you. If coming to church feels like a burden, then we've missed Christ's teaching here entirely. But if we see it with eyes of faith, well, then the weekly pilgrimage to church should be the most eager thing we have each week. The picture painted here in the psalm is people coming to church like a young, hungry child who sees his beloved, precious mother who has always cared for him. Being in church in the gates of Jerusalem, we're like the young child snuggled in his mother's arms. And so we love her. We pray for her constantly wherever she is in the world. Because so long as the church can provide for us, she can always provide for us. She always has the abundance of forgiveness that we receive from her at the altar. The abundance that comes from the cross, that comes from our Lord's pierced side, the stream of water and blood that never ends, that's overflowing. The forgiveness is infinite. So that whatever sin may come between us and our brothers or our neighbors, we are able from this abundance of forgiveness to look at each other with eyes of forgiveness, with hearts of forgiveness, and to say to one another, before we come to this altar, peace be with you. We should never come to this altar divided, but always looking at each other saying, peace be with you in Christ's forgiveness. Christ asks, where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat? Where are we to expect the nourishment for life? Another way of asking this question is, who is the church to you? In baptism, God is your father and the church is your mother, providing for you everything Christ died to give you. Because only in the church and nowhere else can you receive protection and nourishment. Only here at the altar will you find true refreshment for your souls and a life that never ends. Only here in the church will you find Christ. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.
When Jesus lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies, and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us, that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him, all the days of our life. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people, by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. When Jesus lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread, that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. O Lord, have mercy upon us. O Christ, have mercy upon us. O Lord, have mercy upon us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. I said, O Lord, be merciful unto me. Heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee. Return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent thee concerning thy servants. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us, according as we hope in thee. Let thy priests be clothed with righteousness, and let thy saints shout for joy. O Lord, save our rulers. Let the king hear us when we call. Save thy people, and bless thine inheritance. Feed them also, and lift them up forever. Remember thy congregation, which thou hast purchased of old. Peace be within thy walls, and prosperity within thy palaces. Let us pray for our absent brethren. O thou, our God, save thy servants that trust in thee. Let us pray for the brokenhearted and the captives. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles. Send them help from the sanctuary, and strengthen them out of Zion. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come unto thee. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they watch for the morning. I say, more than they watch for the morning. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Turn us again, O God of hosts. Cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Arise, O Christ, for our help, and redeem us for thy mercy's sake. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come unto thee. Grant, we beseech you, Almighty God, that we, who for our evil deeds do worthily deserve to be punished, by the comfort of your grace may mercifully be relieved. Almighty and everlasting God, who hates nothing that you have created, and forgives the sins of all those who are penitent, create and make in us new and contrite hearts, that we, worthily lamenting our sins and acknowledging our wretchedness, may obtain of you, the God of all mercy, perfect remission and forgiveness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, ever one God, world without end. Amen. Give peace in our days, O Lord, because there is none other that fighteth for us except thou, our God. O Lord, let there be peace in thy strength and abundance in thy towers. O Lord, our heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, who has safely brought us to the beginning of this day, defend us in the same with thy mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by thy governance, may be righteous in thy sight. Through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. We give thanks unto thee, Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, thy dear Son, that thou hast protected us through the night from all harm and danger. And we beseech thee to preserve and keep us this day also from all sin and evil, that in all our thoughts, words, and deeds we may serve and please thee. Into thy hands we commend our bodies and souls and all that is ours. Let thy holy angel have charge concerning us, that the wicked one have no power over us. Amen. Bless we the Lord. Thanks be to God. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.